Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that our hope and our assurance is in you and nothing else. And I pray during this time, God, now that we have worshiped you and set our hearts, prepared our hearts to receive from you, God, that you would continue to minister to us and through us, that you would continue to pour out your goodness upon us, that we would have the assurance of Christ, that we would have the hope of heaven always before us, that God, that we would be the church that rises up in these days. Lord, we've been saying even before this pandemic that we've been in the last days, and we know that we are in the last days. But as we see these things happening, as we see the effects of the world right now, we are reminded what your word says, that in the last days, these things will come to pass. These difficulties, these rumors of wars and pestilence. And God, we don't know if you are going to be coming back today, but we know that you can come back today. So let your church be ready. And so I pray that your love would pour upon us, that the church would rise up in these days and help people. Look for opportunities to assist our neighbors, our coworkers, even strangers. Lord, help us to be extra kind to people, Lord, in these days. But Lord, as we gather together now around your word, we pray that it would speak to us. We know it always does. But I pray that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive your truth, and then the wherewithal to apply these things to our very lives. Not to just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word as well. So bless us all. Bless each and every one who's tuned in to this service this morning. God, be with them, meet their needs, take care of their families. Get us through this, Lord. We continually ask that you will remove this virus from our world, that you will give wisdom to those who are trying to find vaccines, and give wisdom to doctors and authorities to try to treat those who are sick right now. And so let your grace continue to be sufficient. I believe it's just as sufficient today as it was years ago. So Lord, let us just see your hand at work. Bless this time as we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16. I've entitled today's message, Caring for Others. Caring for Others. I would imagine that is something that we're all thinking about, something that we're all kind of cognizant of, is, you know, because we can't physically be together. You know, we're finding ways to connect with people. We're seeing more and more people use technology to do either FaceTime or video conferencing and calls to stay connected. And we see that on social media, how people are staying connected. You know, many of us have to do our work being connected in that way. So everybody's working out of our homes. And so we definitely need to have this mindset of caring for others. And we certainly do miss getting together and connecting with each other. Even, seven of us in this room. You know, this morning, it's awkward as a church not to be able to hug another person, not be able to shake a hand or be in close proximity. But during these times, we got to find those opportunities to connect with each other. And as I was reading a news feed, I saw this picture. At the top of the news feed, as it was listing all the COVID-19 and the pandemic, and it's a shot, and I believe it's in California on Wilshire Boulevard. I don't know if you can see it or not, but this sign said it all. It says, right, take care of each other. I think it's an old movie theater or something. And there's just this sign, just this reminder, and you can see there's a gentleman there on a scooter of some sort with his mask and his gloves on. But a reminder there to take care of each other, to take care of each other. I think that's something that's so important in the days that we live in, that we will take care of each other. You know, as doctors and nurses take care of those that are sick, there's still many other needs than just the physical. And opportunities to take care of each other and to connect with each other. Because I look at it like this. This is a time where the world is doing exactly what the church is supposed to do. Isn't that interesting? In this time of tragedy, in this time of pandemic, everybody's being mindful of others. Everybody's being more kind. My wife and I, as we did dinner through a drive-through last night, just thanking the person that was working there. Thank you for being here to supply us dinner. We're just being a little bit more kind to one another. And I hope you're doing that as well. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. Jesus says in John 15, verses 11 through 14, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So as Christians, as believers, we're called to love each other. And that means caring for each other. That means checking in on each other. That means, you know, picking up the phone and talking. Are you finding more opportunities today to reach out to other people? Maybe we're so focused on the news, or we're so focused on taking care of things at home, or maybe you have kids and you're trying to keep your kids busy and, you know, do different activities. But those times to, you know, think about other people. You know, if I start thinking about, oh, I'm alone, or I can't go out, I mean, even on the weekends, my wife's like, we got to get out of the house. We got to get out of there. We just got to go for a walk or go outside. And when we actually went for a drive last night through the drive-thru, I'm going to say it, Taco Bell, of all places. It's like, we got in the car, and it's like, oh, wait, we're out of the house. This is amazing. It's like, wow, how a small thing like getting out of the house now becomes this big event. Oh, we have to be so mindful and look for those opportunities to reach out. So I encourage you, check in on your neighbors. Check in on your friends. Send texts to your coworkers and to your employees. Call those who you usually see on a regular basis before all this pandemic happened. I think about the people that I interacted with almost on a daily basis that I'm not able to connect with anymore. But to pick up the phone and just say, how are you doing? And to check in, man, this brings such appreciation. I was talking to someone this week, and I called, said, how are you doing? How's your family doing? They were telling me all that they were doing there in the backyard, grilling dinner. And it's just, man, I haven't seen you. It was just so good to connect, so good to talk. So find opportunities to fill your day. You know, I mean, I'm sure God's blessed you with a lot of people in your life. Connect with them over the next week. I've just been blessed and amazed. I've been amazed by how blessed I've been by connecting and picking up the phone with different people at the church, different people in my life, and how thankful they were. Man, thank you so much for checking in. And it's such a small thing, but in these times that we're living in, I think it's a big thing. So that's what we must be looking at. That's what we must be doing. Even yesterday or last week, as I was in the shopping center at Kroger, I've shared this with several people. I even shared it with our Wednesday night Bible study. But I was standing there looking at empty shelves, no paper towel, no toilet paper, some shelves empty of food. And as I'm standing there looking at the shelf, just in amazement, I look over and there's this other woman sitting with her cart. She's kind of doing the same thing I'm doing. And we're just kind of standing there looking at empty shelves. And I looked over and I said to her, wow, slim pickings these days, isn't it? And she goes, boy, it sure is. She goes, but I was just at another grocery store a minute ago, and they got their lines are so long and it's so crowded. That's why I came over here. I said, man, well, we got to get through this. We're going to get through this. And I looked at her and I said to her, I don't know what kind of faith you have. I said, but I believe God is in control and God is going to get us through this. And she looked at me and she goes, man, I agree with that 100%, brother. And we just got to have this conversation and got to have this talk and this encouraging moment with each other to say, we're going to get through this. Yes, be smart. Yes, wash your hands. Yes, do the social distancing. Yes, stay home as much as you can. But also find, again, those connections that you can make from time to time. I mean, even a young stock boy at that grocery store I was at, I just looked at him. I said, thank you so much for being here. And I could just tell how much that encouraged him. He said, man, no problem. And it's like, man, you just forget these things. I'm sure they're thankful that they have a job, but they're just as worried about their families. They're just as worried about the condition of their lives. And we need to be thankful for them. So caring for other people. I think that's what we see. I think the Apostle Paul was certainly one that cared for other people. He cared for the church. He cared for the lost. He cared for the people that were around him. And we see that as we continue to go through Acts chapter 16. Look with me at verse 16, if you will. And we're just going to read a couple verses and then make some comments. It says, now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us,
and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Now pause right there and give me your attention before you read the rest of verse 18. So Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke are here in this place, and they're notice it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer." And I touched on this verse last week before we spent time praying. And it's always a great reminder to me and to you that as believers, prayer should be a priority. Prayer should be a priority. And I think for some of us as believers, it's just so natural that we just always pray. We pray before our meals. We pray before church. We pray before different activities. We pray when we have needs. But Paul was a man that was committed to prayer on a regular basis. And I've said it many, many times. None of us in this world could ever say we pray enough. We could never come to that place where we say, "Yeah, I just pray too much." I don't think it'll ever happen. We could always pray more. But to be a regular prayer, a regular person who prays, be known as a person that stops and prays, be known as a person that is committed to praying. And I believe, as we see this, it says, "And now it happened as we went to prayer," they're going to prayer. They're committed to going to a place and pray together. So we certainly pray by yourself, but how important it is to pray with others. No, it's great to be someone of prayer, but it's also great to hear other people pray. So get together, get on a phone call and pray with someone, or send a prayer of text of prayer to someone to encourage them. Paul was a person of prayer. It was important to them, because we should know this: prayer prepares us for whatever activity we're getting ready to do. Prayer prepares us for the day. Prayer prepares us for activities. So it's important that we see that the first thing there that Luke tells us is we went to prayer. We went to prayer. There's those times in our lives where we get outside of that opportunity to pray, and we just get up, we get ready for work, we get in the car, and we go, and we forget to pray. And it's in that moment of freedom, you just stop and pray. Prayer is important. Prayer prepared them for what's going to happen. But also prayer does this. Prayer keeps your focus on God, doesn't it? Prayer keeps your focus on God. If I find myself worrying, I'm not focusing on God. If I find myself concerned or overwhelmed with a certain task or a responsibility that I have, then I'm not focusing on God. And when I take my requests and when I take my needs to God and pray, I get my focus on God. And with my focus on God, I begin to sense his strength. I begin to sense his help. And I can kind of give him my issues and give him my problems during prayer. So keep your focus on God. Notice what they see. Right out of the bat, "Now it happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us." What this means is this girl was possessed with a devil. With a demon, excuse me. The word divination in the original language means python. Python. It's interesting. I used to know someone who actually had a python. Wouldn't do one now. It says, "The python is a mystical serpent of the Greeks. It guarded the temple of Apollo." And they actually used the word python to describe a possessed person through whom the python gave this person the ability to prophesy or to speak of the future. Notice what she says. She says down here in verse 17, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now, at face value, that looks very spiritual. That looks very accurate. And we'll see here in a minute, it's not something that Paul really appreciates. This girl has been haggling these guys and doing this on a regular basis. Notice it says at the beginning of verse 17, "And this she did for many days." For many days. She just kept saying this. These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, again, in English, it makes sense that that would be the one true God. But what she was saying is that she was speaking of a pagan god referred to as Zeus Everybody in that area would be Roman. Everybody in that area where they were would know what she was saying, that this was the god of Zeus. So we're going to see very clearly the reason Paul got annoyed by this is because it was distracting the message from the true God. The true God. Her statements were a distraction to those that would be listening to Paul as Paul is trying to bring forth the gospel. Here's the reality. When you're trying to do good things for God, the enemy's going to do everything he can to bring distraction. Everything he can to bring distraction. I've had this statement in my head for many, many years. It says, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll keep you busy. In this case, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll distract you. And she was a distraction. She was one that was taking the attention off of Paul's message and putting it on a false god. But Paul doesn't even skip a beat. Paul knows that his message is important, and he wants to focus on that. And notice it wasn't done once. It says she'd been doing this for many days, which at the same time reminds me that Paul and his party were praying day after day after day. Again, as they came into this area, as they came into Philippi, that's right, and they're in Philippi. As they came into Philippi, they were coming there to do some ministry. Remember, a man of Macedonia, Paul had that vision. He was called to that area. He came in that area. But for many days, they just spent time in prayer, preparing themselves for what God had to do. After many days of this constant harassment, look what Paul does at the rest of verse 18. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the serpent, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that her hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So what happens? This girl is following them. This girl is in a sense, mocking their ministry. And Paul finally gives up, gets frustrated enough where he turns. And here's the thing that I want us to all focus in on. Paul's focus was more on the girl than he was on the demon. This girl was being possessed by a demon, was being motivated by the devil, was being motivated by darkness. And I believe Paul, because he's a man of prayer, because he's spending time with the Lord, he sees things differently. Paul knew exactly what this was. Notice it says, verse 18, excuse me, but Paul, greatly annoyed, which is the word distressed, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the serpent. He spoke to the python. He spoke to the demon that was possessing this girl. And Paul spoke such with authority. He says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. I want to say this. Paul's concern was for her. And if we're going to be caring for others, our concern has to be for others. Our true heart has to be to help other people. That's something that we should want to do. That's something that we should desire to do. I love the fact that because Paul, man of God, spending time in prayer, the importance of prayer, I believe God prepared him to be discerning enough to know that this girl was possessed by a demon and exactly what he needed to do. Guys, you can't have this kind of response to a distraction in your life if you're not suited up in prayer. You will act out in the flesh if you're not prepared in the spirit through prayer. Again, Paul was annoyed. He was distressed by it. But he focused on what it really was. He focused on the real issue. And that's where we have to be careful, because the enemy wants to build divisions between you and other people. But God wants to bring connections between you and other people. And so we have to have that understanding of discernment. Paul is having discernment here, and I believe that's a result of his time in prayer. So I would encourage us all to spend time praying for other people. Really, truly just, we have nothing but time anymore these days. We still got to do our jobs. We still have to do our business. But maybe take some time to spend praying and asking God, prepare me, Lord, for this day. Prepare me for what you're going to have in front of me this day. For the last few weeks, I've been doing devotions with a friend of mine. And we've been working through some things. And every morning we pray, Lord, prepare us for the day. Equip us for whatever's going to happen in our day. Help us not get frustrated when something doesn't go our way. Help us not to get angry when someone tries to, when someone says something to us. It's truly asking God to be there for us. Now, here's the thing. Did you see what Paul said? I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He doesn't say anything super extensive. I wrote this down. It's very simplistic. With simplicity, he makes this request. Again, he has the confidence in God, but the simplicity of this request. I think sometimes we try to say too many things. I think, you know, asking God to do too many things in our time of prayer, let's get to the point. This prayer, if you will, is to the point. This request is to the point. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He doesn't give a long dissertation. He doesn't say, Lord, you know, spending time in prayer this morning, you've equipped me for this. He just gets right to the heart of the issue. And notice he says, simplistically, he just says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Guys, under the authority of God, under the authority of Jesus Christ, as believers in God, our words are powerful. Our words can build up, or our words can break down. Are your words in these days building people up or bringing them down? What we need in the world today is people that are hopeful of the future. People that are putting their trust in God and putting their trust in Jesus Christ, that this will get resolved and we will get back to normal. We don't need people telling us, well, this is going to get worse before it gets better. This is not going to turn out too well. No, we need people that are going to be encouraging. So be careful with the words that you're using. Be careful, because you can either bring life or death, as in the power of the tongue, I believe James says. Not only was it a simplistic request, it was an authoritative request. Notice he says, I command you. I command you, as he's speaking to that demon. Can I ask you a question? Are you that confident in your relationship with God and the abilities of your Lord to command something to happen in your life? Think about that. Paul was so assured of what the situation was and what needed to be done, and he says, I command you. I command you. As I think about the things that are going on in our world today, I think we need more spirit-filled Christians that are speaking this kind of truth into our circumstances. I'm truly praying every single day, Lord, take this virus out. Remove it. Protect people. And I want to pray a prayer with such confidence and such boldness. In a sense, I command this virus to be gone in Jesus' name. That's the kind of authority that God has given to us. And so that's the authority that Paul uses. I command you. And then notice the priority of this request. The priority was in Jesus' name. In the name above all names, in Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say, I command you to come out of her in my name. He didn't say that. He knew there was no power there. So as believers, we have the power and the strength in Jesus' name to save finances. Be restored. And I'm not saying name it and claim it. But I see in my Bible a very authoritative request by Paul and an amazing result immediately there. And I think that's something I need to start to apply in my life. That we would truly speak to our finances with the authority of God. That we would speak to this pandemic with the authority of God. That we would speak to the fear and the anxiety that maybe we have when it comes to I've lost my job or I've filed for unemployment or all of these things. We speak into these things. One of the greatest things in my life is being able to speak to someone who's fearful and to bring them hope. To speak to someone who's unsure of their future and say, we're going to get through this. God's going to get us through this. And these aren't just words. It's that faith that God gives to us to believe because we care enough for others that we want to bring them some hope. I think left to ourselves, it's easy to get fearful. It's easy for anxiety to increase. You know, as this thing continues to grow and expand, we need to be asking God with that type of authority to, Lord, help us navigate these times. Paul was so confident. And notice at the end of that verse, verse 18, and he came out that very hour. Is there a prayer that you need answered right now? Is there a request that you need answered right now? Are you taking that request? Are you taking that need to God in this ability to say, Lord, I need you to take care of this? With confidence, you know, I think James says, without doubting, let your request be known to God without doubting. So let us not doubt. Let us spend time praying and let God prepare our hearts to have the authority to speak into our circumstances and see things change. This is what we need in the world today, is a church that rises up, a people that rises up and brings hope. See, we just can't pat people on the back. Well, let's hope it'll be okay. Let's hope it'll get better. Let's hope things get, you know, let's hope we get the mask. Let's hope we get the respirator. No, let's pray we get the respirator. Let's pray that God sends a miracle. Again, I'm not going to remember it. It just came to my mind. But it was something like, I think they were sending respirators or masks to New York, and there wasn't enough in New York. And then all of a sudden, they found a warehouse full of them. All of a sudden. They didn't realize they had thousands of them. And it's like, in this time, you're like, how do you miss that? You know, but truly, I think it's those opportunities for us to say, I mean, I believe it could have been a miracle by God, that he just said, there they are, right there. But to truly believe that God can do that. Listen, if we're believers and we don't believe that God can do the absolute impossible, then where's our faith? Where's our faith? He can do the impossible, and this seems like an impossibility. This seems like Armageddon, end of the world, all this. But it's like, no, our faith is there to believe. Paul was living in some difficult days, and we're going to see the way he gets treated. But he was confident enough in his God to look at this girl, to see, I believe he looked at her heart and knew that she needed to be delivered. Paul wasn't so concerned what she was saying. Paul was more concerned at the control that was being taken over her life. I mean, didn't even say that her masters were, yeah, verse 19, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone. This verse breaks my heart. They see a young girl possessed with a demon, and they just see it as an opportunity to gain. They just see it as an opportunity for profit. They didn't see the person. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe sometimes you look in your life and you feel like people don't look at you other than anything else than what they can get from you. That's a sorry place to be. And I wrote this down in my notes. We don't want to be used. They were using this girl. And we want to be people that aren't taken advantage of and being used, but we want to be people that are used and valued. Wouldn't you agree that's a difference? To be valued as a person, to be thankful for the gifts and talents that God has given to you, and for you to be used by God, not taken advantage of by man, but to be valued by man. One of the first jobs I had in New York was with an engineering company. And they were one of the busiest engineering companies when I was there for 6 years. And we worked long hours, sometimes through the night, sometimes several days in a row. And they would just work us to get to the deadlines. And once the deadline was over, you'd think, okay, let's get some time off. I mean, we've been working 24 hours a day. Nope, here's the next project, here it goes. I just felt like a tool that was being abused. Now, they said they appreciated us, but they sure didn't act like they did. It's different to be taken advantage of and being used and versus being taken advantage of and being valued. Listen, we all want to work hard. We all want to do a good job, but we want people to appreciate us. Sorry to put you on the spot, Pastor RJ, but Pastor RJ, yes, this whole week has been working over at our new church property. And I think it was Friday, as I was leaving the property, I looked at him, I said, man, thank you so much for doing this. He looks at me and he goes, I work here. It's my job. And that's true. But how sad it would be if I just said, yeah, that's your job. Go ahead and do that. You just keep doing that. Rather than just say, thank you for doing it. That's caring for other people. It's saying thank you for what they're doing. I mean, there's six people in this room, and I'm very thankful that you guys leave your homes and come here. I really am appreciative of that. Thank you. I appreciate you people tuning in. It's different. Church is different today. Thank you. But it's because we care for each other, right? I mean, the seven of us came in here. We came here because we care, and we care for you. We love you. And we want to be there for you. And that's why he say, we want to care for you. We want to meet your needs, but you got to let us know what those needs are. Please. Someone just this morning, I heard him say, they don't like to get help from other people. Nobody likes to feel that vulnerable. Nobody likes to feel like, oh, I have to ask for help. I need a handout. Listen, we all need help from time to time. And if we can't help each other as the family of God, then we're in a sorry state. I mean, we should not be relying on the government to meet all of our needs. We should be relying on God to meet every single one of our needs. And if you have a need, and if you have an issue, if there's something you have, I finally found, I forget how many there was in there, 18 rolls of paper towel. So if you need some, call me. I'll bring it to your house, or I'll have somebody bring it to your house. I mean, it was like gold. I was like, oh, Sam's Club has toilet paper, or rolled paper towel. It was so amazing. But you got to let us know. You got to let us know. Be important. So let's see. Again, they were motivated by money. I mean, 1 Timothy, I wanted to put this verse up here. Because listen, all we hear a lot is the economy. You know, we watch it on the news. Now, we see human life, we see the respirators and masks and the medical profession and how are we going to get through this and how are we going to test everybody. But man, I see a very heavy, the economy. And I'm not saying we should just ignore that. We got to pay attention to it. But man, if it's always just about money, then we're gonna find ourselves in a trap. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need money to pay our bills. Yes, we need money to pay our mortgages and pay our rent and to buy food. We need that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying our focus can't be on money. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money, not money, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, in maybe some way, God is trying to hit a little reset button for us. Say, are you trusting in the bank? Are you trusting in your savings account? Or are you trusting in me? I believe for many years, God did that for this church. That he made sure our focus was on him and not how much money we had in our savings account. Our trust needs to be in him. Be wise with your finances. You know, do what you can. If you have to file for unemployment to meet your needs, do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But let's not let that be the focus. Let the focus be on how can we help as many people in this world as we can who are suffering. Well, we certainly can be praying for them. There's no doubt about it. Verse 20. After they complained, after they dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, verse 20 says, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Now, can I just give me your attention once? Exceedingly trouble our city. Do you know what they've done so far in the city? They've prayed. They've led a girl, Lydia, to the Lord and her whole household. And they've delivered a girl who was possessed by a demon. So, exceedingly trouble the city. The world has a different way of looking at things, don't they? Verse 21, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Teach customs, they were teaching salvation is what they were teaching. Verse 22, then the magistrates rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. I don't want to know what beaten with rods means, but it doesn't look good. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely.
Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, talk about feeling like you're outside of God's will, right? Praying faithfully to God on a regular basis. Sharing the gospel, sharing the message of the good news. We're going to see that they're taught the word of God. They see that time and time again. Delivering a young girl possessed by a demon. Leading people to the Lord. And now all of a sudden you find yourself in the inner jail with your feet shackled. Guys, sometimes in this world, we're going to feel out of place. Sometimes in this world, we're going to feel like we're being held back. We're going to be wronged. I wrote that down. This was so unfair. This was so wrong. It would be easy for Paul to go, God, what is going on? Have you ever been in that place in your life? Have you ever been in that place like, why is all of these things happening? Why is tragedy hitting us all over the place? And I hope it doesn't happen, but I have a sense that this is going to get a little bit worse before it gets a whole lot better. I do believe it'll get better, but I feel like it's going to get a little bit worse for many of us. And do we lose our faith then? Do we find ourselves beaten with rods, and do we feel ourselves being dragged into the jail and being chained in the inner jail to all of a sudden give up on our faith in God? Do we lift our fist to the Lord and say, why are you allowing this to happen to me? We can easily get to that place, right? Anybody in this room ever been in that place? Never. Just me. No, we all get to that place. How does Paul respond? Look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining and fighting and arguing? No. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. That is key right there. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Now give me your attention here. This is so amazing. Our concern for others must be focused on their hearts, not necessarily their attitudes. I mean, I know sometimes we get interactions with people that just have bad attitudes and they rub us wrong. And just as Paul looked at the heart of this girl and said, she's being overwhelmed by a darkness, that maybe that's our focus. That we would look at people that rub us wrong and say, they're being overwhelmed with something. Something's going on in their life that's causing them to respond in that way. That we maybe would have the heart of Paul and do the very same thing. But it's amazing to me, verse 25, that they're praying, continuing to pray. So we see prayer again. And then they're singing hymns to God. And the prisoners in there are listening. The second thing I see, not only we have concern for others, but that we have a commitment to be a witness. No matter what happens to us. That we would be a witness. No matter what position we're in, no matter what place we find ourselves, whether it's a difficulty or whether it's an ease or a blessing, that we would be a witness. Paul and Silas are dragged into prison for delivering a girl from a demon. And then they're found at midnight praying and singing psalms to God. I believe that it's only through prayer, which they prayed before, right? But it's only by prayer that equipped them and prepared them to be in this position and yet still keep their faith, still keep their witness. As believers, again, as the church, I find us in a place where we have a great opportunity to be the church that God has called us to be the hope in the midst of a very difficult time. We are all finding ourselves in a place where we have never been in our lives. And now it's our time to be the church. There's a lot of things that the Word of God tells us to do. But now we need to do it. Now we need to be those believers that are faithful, that are prayerful,
and that have a heart for other people. Ask God to put people on your heart. Ask God to show you who you can reach out to, who you can connect with, who you can come alongside, and who you can help. Prayer, I believe, prayer leads to a worshipful heart. I think the order of this is important. That they didn't just worship God, hopefully that God would give them strength. They were praying to God, and out of that heart of prayer came worship. Because when we worship, we pray. And when we pray, it leads us to worship. Oh, when you're in prayer, if you're truly seeking God's heart, your heart will automatically be motivated to prayer. Another verse in Philippians says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Don't you love that? Rejoice in the Lord always. Except for when you're in prison? No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Except for when you're going through a pandemic? No. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul tells this church of Philippi. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, this church in Philippi, where they're being persecuted, they knew what happened to Paul. And so as Paul is saying this, they're going, yep, you exemplified it. Yep, you lived it. What a great witness, what a great testimony it would be for all of us as believers if people would look at us and go, man, during the pandemic, during COVID-19, man, those Christians were faithful. Man, they had hope of heaven. They were confident in their God. That's our testimony. That's our opportunity to be a witness. I would love to be in a difficult situation like Paul finds himself in, and yet immediately finding myself in a place of prayer and worship. Let's encourage each other to do that. Even this morning, even the way we're doing church now, it's set up a certain way. It's a little bit different. There's nobody in the room, and we're worshiping the Lord. But I got to tell you, the worship is just, well, you guys are here. Okay, I got it. I'm offending a few people right now. But we can worship the Lord in the same way that we do when we're together. We can worship the Lord. These are not just songs. We just run through these four songs. Let's run through the verses. Let's run through the choruses. Let's make sure we play the. No, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship God. That's what we all need, not just on Sunday morning. We need to wake up every single day, spend time in prayer, spend time focusing on God, and then maybe worship the Lord. Play some worship music. Change the atmosphere around you. That's what helps. It's so important, and that's what Paul did. He was committed to be a witness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Listen, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. So it's not just rejoice in the Lord by yourself. To rejoice in such a way that other people are seeing it. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Let's make sure that other people are watching us. And as they're watching us, they're seeing a good testimony. They're seeing a good witness. Yeah, you're probably afraid, and yeah, you're probably worried that maybe you're going to lose your job or things are going to get worse before they get better. Maybe there, all those things are there. But we can still be a witness in our God. Your Bible reads the same as mine. And in the last book of this Bible, things get a whole lot worse, don't they? I'm not saying we're in the tribulation, but I'm saying things are going to get worse before that happens. So we've been talking about it for years, to be prepared as believers for whatever may come. Let's be prayerful, let's be worshipful, and let's encourage others to do the same. All right, look with me in verse 30. So the jailer comes, falls down to Paul and Silas's feet, trembling, and he says in verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him." Notice they ministered God's word to him and to all who were in his house. "And he took them and the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. I mean, what a great response. First, they prayed, they worshiped, an earthquake hits, their chains fall off. And notice, Paul and Silas don't leave. They stayed right where they were. I think for me, if the doors were open and the chains fell off, I'm gone. But it's my belief that, again, in that time of prayer and worship to God, God spoke to them, and Paul was content to be that witness, and he stayed right there. Maybe God even prepared Paul for this opportunity to lead this jailer to the Lord. So sometimes it's stay right where you are, even though it might be a little bit uncomfortable, even though it might be a place where you're a little insecure, and that's where we are right now, a place of insecurity. But see it as an opportunity for God to set the stage, because I believe, like in verse 30, where this guy says, sirs, what must I do to get saved? I believe we're going to see that in the days ahead. I believe we're going to see a world that's crying out, what must I do to be saved? Because of our good witness as believers, because of our care for one another, for our love for each other, they're going to see the church and they'll be like, wow, they were helpful. Wow, they were, and they're going to come and say, what do we have to do to be saved? And aren't you glad you don't have to do anything to get saved? Aren't you glad you don't have to pray every day to be saved? That you don't have to read your Bible every day to be saved? That you don't have to lead someone to the Lord every day to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe. Paul's response to this jailer who was ready to take his life, because he thought the prisoners had been released, because they were going to take his life anyway, has now given his life to the Lord by just simply believing. The importance of belief. The importance of believing in what Jesus has done. And so the opportunity that was laid before Paul and Silas was a beautiful opportunity. That this man came and said, what must I do? Believe in the Lord. And notice his heart for his family. Notice for his desire that his whole family would believe. Now listen, this jailer's faith was not enough for his whole family. Let's make sure we understand that. Everyone in that family had to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't have enough faith for you. You can't have enough faith for me. I have to have enough faith in God in order to be saved. So it was every person in this household that got saved. Everyone received the Lord Jesus Christ and they were baptized because of what God had already done in their hearts. So baptism does not lead to salvation. He was a bold witness. Prayer, listen to this, prayer led to an opportunity which led to salvation. So do you see the importance of prayer and how it can lead to an opportunity and how it can lead to bringing someone to salvation, to bring someone something that they need? Prayer is so important to have the heart for others. Let's read these last verses just to close out the chapter because it's all part of this story. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the officers, saying, let these men go. So the keeper of the prison, same man who was just saved, reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us in prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and then departed. I'm just struck at twice Paul and Silas have the ability to get out of jail and they don't do it. The first time when the earthquake happened, they could have left, but they didn't. because there was an opportunity that God wanted them to have. The second time, they were released. The magistrate said, let them go. It's believed that the magistrates just wanted to beat them, put them in jail, and hopefully they would just depart after being treated that way. But not Paul. Paul was committed to stay right where God wanted him to accomplish his purposes. This last section, to me, when it talks about caring for others, is convincing other people to be truthful. Paul's like, no. They beat us openly. They accused us openly. They're not going to just sweep us under the rug and let us go. No, we got to hold people to the truth. And this truly is something that we have to do as believers, that truth is the thing that should reign supreme. When we have opportunities for other people, to help other people, we also need to keep them accountable. That's what I believe Paul is doing here. He's keeping them accountable for their actions. It is something that is so important in the church today, that we stay accountable to who we are as believers, that we don't compromise truth because of our circumstances. And Paul was good about keeping that in that place, to keeping himself in a place where he could be used by God. And God used him to convey truth. And we have to give it to the magistrates. They did come, they did apologize, and they did eventually let him go. So there was truth that was reigned supreme in the situation. It's interesting to me that they go to Lydia's house. This is why we believe that Lydia was kind of the central spot where the church was birthed in Philippi. You know, this chapter ends with Luke being there, but as soon as we pick up in chapter 17, verse 1, we see that Luke actually is not there any longer. He begins to go from us to we again. So it's believed that Luke was left there in Philippi to be the leader of that church. It's important that we leave leaders, that we have leaders to lead people to the Lord, to help them grow in the Lord. This church was birthed by people getting saved. There were no elders, there were no deacons. They left Luke there to take care of things, but this church grew and became a very vital church in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul said such great things about this church. Here's the thing I want us to leave with. Paul truly had a heart to care for others. He didn't let a demon-possessed girl distract him from his ministry. He saw it as an opportunity. He didn't worry about being imprisoned in jail, wrongly accused. He saw it as an opportunity for God to use him again. Let's look at our situations. Let's look at the circumstances of our lives and realize we are here. We are in this place. A lot of uncertainties, but one thing we can be certain of. God's in control. God's going to get us through this, one way or another. And let's pray that God gets all the glory, and let's pray that the believers rise up and be truthful, holding people accountable to do what's right. God always gives those opportunities. Look for those opportunities. One last verse. I hope this encourages all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Our job as believers, as the worship team comes forward, we're going to close in one last song. But our job as believers is to believe in a God of all comfort, and then to comfort others with the comfort that God has given to us. So is God comforting you in this time? With you having maybe to stay home, not able to go to work, is God comforting you? The way you're dealing with different social interactions or lack thereof, is God comforting you in that? If God is bringing us comfort, it's our job to comfort others. And that's what we want to do here at Calvary Chapel. If you're in a place right now where you need some encouragement, that you need some prayer, please reach out to us. It's our job. God has called us, just like he called the Apostle Paul. He has called us to this community to minister to the needs in this community. And we want to serve you. So reach out to us. In the days ahead, we're going to do all we can to reach out to everybody we know that calls Calvary Chapel Brentwood their home. And we hope to be able to get to everybody. But if you've got a specific need, if you've got something that needs to be addressed to me, you reach out to us. We're going to do everything in our power to let God meet your needs. Amen? Let's pray, will we? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for putting it on our hearts to be mindful of others. And so I pray as this service comes to a close that the things that we've talked about, the things that we've seen, the heart the Apostle Paul had to see past the demon and into the heart of that young girl, to see that though his chains were released and the jail doors were opened, he stayed right where he was. Because you had an opportunity for him. Lord, let us be those believers that stay the course, that stay open and ready to meet needs, to encourage each other, to love on each other. Lord, get us through this pandemic. We command in the name of Jesus that all those who are sick would be healed. God, we know you can do it. We know you can speak it into existence, and this thing will be gone. So continue to reveal yourself. Continue to pour out your grace. Help us to be wise in these days. Guide us and direct us. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time to be together. Bless our day. Bless our hearts. We want to be a blessing to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Appreciate you being here. Let's worship one last song.